Good morning, brothers and sisters. Have you shouted for joy yet? It's right for us to shout for joy, for we have a boastful life, and we can challenge all things and triumph over all things. Hence, we have to shout for joy. The Bible said, no one can bring any charge against God's elect. There is no one who can separate us from the love of Christ. Do you know why? That's right. The Lord who raised us from the dead has conquered all. The victorious Lord dwelled in our hearts. How he overcomes, and we can overcome through him. Even various tribulations, persecutions, famine, and poverty, or even thousands and thousands of devil and evil spirits, cannot separate us from the love of Christ. For the Lord Jesus has overcome sin and death. He has risen from the dead and brought us back to the right hand of God. We are no longer the slave of sin. We belong to the Lord. He has set us free and purchased us at a costly price. We are his darling love, the new creation. The new creation has united with the Lord forever. We can rejoice and be glad like Paul. There is definitely, definitely, definitely nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. For this love is in the Lord. Do you know why I have to say definitely 3 times? That's right. There is nothing that can separate me from the love of Father, the Lord, and the Holy Spirit. So let us sing a hymn boastfully. It's in God's family hymn note 11, Psalm 176, Triumph Over All Things. Let us sing the first and the second stanzas. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? What is the breadth and length and height and depth or the love of God, which surpasses all that I ask or think? I shall be more grateful, overflow with thanksgiving and praises, less treasure and worship him day by day. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? They are justified by God. Justified by God. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. I hope you have time to quiet yourself and respond to him, or you can sing another hymn to worship the Lord. Let's have some time to be with him face to face. You can stop the recording and we'll read the Bible when you're done. May the Lord bless you. Brothers and sisters, we'll read in the Gospel according to John, chapter 8, verse 1 to 11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him. And he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in an act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" This they said to test him, that they may have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Have no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." As we have just finished reading in the Gospel according to John chapter 7, knowing that the Lord Jesus took the risk of going to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. On the biggest day, he declared that if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in him should never thirst. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. What this means is that those who believe in him will receive the Holy Spirit. Not only does the Lord Jesus like men to be saved, he also likes men to receive and drink of the Holy Spirit. We have reached chapter 8 after the delightful days. The Pharisees caught a woman in adultery to test Jesus. They asked Jesus what to do with the sinful woman. They test him in order to find evidence to accuse him. Because if the Lord Jesus sentenced her to death under the law of Roman, Jesus have no rights to do so. What if he incites others to stone and kill this woman? He was the ringleader and he committed murder. But if the Lord Jesus let her go, he would have committed a sin against Moses. Hence, the scribes and Pharisees were very thoughtful to use this trick. Yet, Jesus ignored them and he wrote on the ground. What did the Lord Jesus write on the ground? "You're welcome to leave a message with your thoughts." I don't know if the Lord Jesus writing on the ground was something related to the law. The law quoted by the scribes and Pharisees in full version. For the scribes and Pharisees said in verse 5, "Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" The law they cite seems incomplete. Would Jesus write the law completely for them to read on the ground? But what was written is not the most crucial of this passage of the Bible. Let us come back to verse 8 in this chapter. The aim of the scribes and Pharisees to test Jesus. However, the Lord Jesus ignored them as he rode on the ground, but they continued to ask him. Then the Lord Jesus stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and rode on the ground. They went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the women standing before him. As we can see through here, everyone knew that they were guilty. For the Lord Jesus said that, "Let him who was without sin among them be the first to throw a stone at her." They left because they were guilty, and no one was qualified to judge this woman. And the woman knew that she was guilty and was waiting for the trial. Among this sin was heart-wrenching, from the oldest to the youngest. The oldest one committed more sins, and so did the youngest ones. They went away one by one, for all of them knew they had committed sins. It was like a large group of people in harsh dungeon initially, especially those scribes and Pharisees, but they went away one by one in the end. As you see, their hearts were enlightened. They knew they were guilty, but it was another matter whether they're willing to confess their sins and repent. No wonder in chapter 8, from verse 12 to verse 59, the Lord Jesus said that he was the light of the world. He proved that he is the Christ. Not only is he a descendant of Abraham, he was even earlier than Abraham. Before Abraham was, I am. The Lord Jesus gave a hint to them that he is God through this sentence. Thus, I think from chapter 8, verse 1 to 11, how the Lord Jesus treated the women in adultery was closely related to his later statement that he is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness." It has shown not only we have to be enlightened, but we should follow him as well. If we follow him, we will not walk in darkness. What is more important is to gain the light of life. I have simply shared the content of chapter 8. Let us meditate again in verse 1 to 11. Verse 1 and 2 mentioned, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives to rest. I wonder if he went to Bethany, as Bethany was located at the foot of the east of Mount of Olives in Judea, where it was about 3 kilometers from Jerusalem. The most precious place in the village of Bethany was the 3 siblings, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And we know the days before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. He went back and forth from Bethany to Jerusalem daily. You can refer to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 11, verse 11 to 12, as well as verse 19. However, the Lord Jesus returned to the temple early in the morning and sat down to teach the people. But this time, the scribes and Pharisees interrupt his speech with the people. In chapter 8, verse 3 to 4, the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. As you can imagine the situation at that time, suddenly a group of people came when the Lord Jesus was preaching. I believe some of them were furious looking, and some of them just joined in for fun. This group of people caught a woman, and this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In fact, this matter was not easy. All in all, that is what the scribes and Pharisees said. But I wonder, what about the man who was having sex with her was also present? Why didn't they caught him as well? Obviously, it has shown the injustice of the scribes and Pharisees only caught this woman. In fact, this woman was only a tool to test Jesus. Jesus was the real target of their condemnation, but not the woman. I was so angry when I read this chapter. The scribes and Pharisees were those who knew the law and had status. They were knowledgeable, but they were so unjust to sin in terms of destroying Jesus. Instead, they used the law to falsely accuse Jesus. God established the law on the basis of love, for the purpose of law was love. Yet, those scribes and Pharisees intend to accuse Jesus through the law as a tool. Truly, it was over the top. It was outrageous. Let us read in verse 5. Now, in the law, Moses commands us to stone such women. So what do you say? The scribes and Pharisees quoted the law and questioned Jesus. In fact, they had taken it out of context. This is how it is written in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 22 to 24. If a man is found lying with the wife of another man, both of them shall die, the man who lies with the woman and the woman. So you shall purge the evil from Israel. I won't continue, and you can read it yourself. Moreover, it is also written in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. If a man commits adultery with a wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Hence, the Pharisees quoted the law and wanted to stone the woman to death. However, they only practiced part of it. Truly, they were taking quotes out of context. How deceitful and cunning. Obviously, the law said if you catch the adulteress, you must catch 2 people. Both adulterer and adulteress are all punishable by death. But why did the scribes and Pharisees bring only that woman but not the man? So what was going on? Did they let him go on purpose? Truly, it was reasonable for us to suspect the whole incident was a trap. The scribes and Pharisees wanted to set Jesus up and accuse him. As mentioned in chapter 8, verse 6, these they set to test him, that they may have some charge to bring against him. The purpose is to put the Lord Jesus to death, but the Lord Jesus ignored them. In chapter 8, verse 6 mentioned, Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. Jesus wrote on the ground without seeing anything, just like at the beginning. I wonder whether the words that the Lord Jesus wrote on the ground were where it was written in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 22 to 24? Or could it be about Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10 for short? It is only my guess, and there might be many reasonable possibilities. You might as well leave me a message. When the Lord Jesus was writing on the ground, I believe that the scribes and Pharisees must be very cocky. Why? For truly, the question was not easy to answer. Without saying a word, Jesus bent down and wrote on the ground. I guess the Lord Jesus must have thought of the solution. They were confident that no matter what Jesus said, he had a way to accuse Jesus and kill him, but not by beating him. Thus, they kept on asking him vaguely. In chapter 8, verse 7 mention, and as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." The answer of the Lord Jesus must have surprised the scribes, Pharisees, and the people representing indeed. Truly, it was beyond their expectation. The Lord Jesus answered this way, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first who throw a stone at her." Truly, this sentence was awesome. You might meditate it as well. Not only this sentence solved the dilemma, but also awakened the people's heart. It convicted the sin of man and showed the authority of judgment as well. Jesus was the only one left with the authority to judge this woman. That is to say, the Lord Jesus is God, and he has the authority to judge. But what the Lord Jesus chose was not judgment, but forgiveness. At the same time, this sentence has shown the Lord Jesus has no sin, and he is holy indeed. I meditate on the picture at that time that the people went away one by one. The Lord Jesus still humbly rode on the ground. Surely, my heart admires him and finds that the Lord is very glorious. To say in a modern wording, I think he was so cool. The Lord Jesus was not vicious who stopped the anger of these people by force. It was the tenderness, holiness, and the love of the Lord that shook the heart of men. It reminded me another verse in the Bible. My beloved is radiant and ruddy, distinguished among 10,000. Truly, the Lord attracted my heart in this scene. He is so glorious and precious. In verse 8 and 9, and once more he bent down and rode on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the women standing before him. The Bible said, they heard it. Truly, the word of the Lord is powerful. Just like the psalm says, the voice of the Lord is powerful and full of majesty. Brothers and sisters, we should listen to the voice of the Lord more. It's not just the scribes and Pharisees who had to listen. Rightly, we shall listen to the word of the Lord speaks to us and to each of us more. Every single word of the Lord is full of love and understanding. Brothers and sisters, we are strengthened and we will change when we hear his words. His words are spirit and life and provision for us and our enjoyment. Thus, we should read more and listen more to his words. Especially, we should read with a heart of drawing close to the Lord. We have to listen to the word of God and pour out our heart to him. Not only the Lord likes to hear your voice, he also likes you to hear his voice. He simply longs to have the fellowship of love with us day by day. If you hear the voice of the Lord, definitely, it is unforgettable for you, and it is the greatest help in your life. As you all know the outcome of this matter, only Jesus was left alone, and the woman was still standing before him. Lord Jesus did not sin. This woman was not stoned, and she was not convicted. If this woman was caught in adultery, which meant she was caught in bed, I believe she was not properly dressed and extremely humiliated. It would be very shameful to stand in front of people and in front of Jesus. Surely she wanted to hide herself so others couldn't see her. Sin brings you shamefulness. I think of the Lord Jesus being crucified for me. His garments and clothing were all divided. Or he had a piece of waddling cloth as a sign when he was born. The Lord Jesus might have only had a piece of cloth when he died. I'm so grateful to the Lord for bearing my sins and their penalty. He bore my humiliation and my shame as well. I committed sins, even I hate myself, and I felt so filthy. I give thanks to the Lord for bearing all the sins in my life and bearing my shame. The Lord Jesus rescued me from my sins, and he has promoted me in order I can sit with him, the Prince. We should be so grateful, and I believe that this woman must be very grateful as well, for she was caught and was going to be stoned to death. Surely she must be very scared. But now only Jesus was with her. In fact, the people who were going to question her went away one by one. Certainly, she must be wondering why Jesus was so awesome. When Jesus was bending down and writing on the ground, this woman did not escape in secret, but wait for Jesus to speak to her. I believe that she was eager to hear the voice of Jesus in her heart. She waited until, in verse 10, Jesus stood up and said to her, "Women, where are they? Have no one condemned you?" We don't know how long it took for those people to go away one by one. How long did Jesus bend down to write? Here is it. The Lord Jesus stood up, which is worthy for our meditation. The Bible mentioned twice that Jesus stood up. Many people try to interpret many spiritual meanings, which is an example for interpreting the Bible spiritually. I don't want to go into details. You can continue to expand your meditation, which is helpful to your spirits. Whatever things which makes you love the Lord more and know him more is good. Lastly, the Lord Jesus asked, "Women, where are they? Have no one condemned you?" The woman said, "No one, Lord." The one who was the most qualified to condemn us is Jesus. Yet the Lord also said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." I give thanks to the Lord that all our sins are forgiven. He freed us, and no one can condemn us anymore. And no one can bring any charge against us. We're chosen by God. The Lord has solved all the problems of our sins on the cross. Truly, he freed us. The Lord Jesus said, "Go, and from now on, sin no more." Truly, we are set free. We can overcome sin by trusting in him. The word "go" here not only tells we are free, but also tells us we can follow him. Because it is mentioned from verse 12 to the end that he is the light of the world. He likes us to follow him. Those who follow him will not walk in darkness, but we have the light of life. Because the Lord dwells in our hearts and promises that we will never sin again by him. Truly, he is our help to live a holy life. No longer we are wallowing in sin. We are more than conquerors through him. Hallelujah! We're the new creations. We're the dear child of Abba, the darling love of the Lord. We shall give thanks to the Lord for our life. That's all for my sharing. There are many words in this chapter are worthy for our meditation. I really hope you will continue to read his words and draw close to him. May you enjoy your personal time with the Lord. May the Lord bless you.